your finances on a higher power. Being good stewards of the financial resources God has bestowed upon each of us is the key to financial success in life. It's your finances on a higher power. Here's your host, Paula T. Webb.
Hello, fellow traders and investors. This is Dr. Paula T. coming to you from 1610 WBGS. It's a great place to be. Each week, we bring you insight and expertise on creating uncommon wealth through profit-taking in the markets. In other words, your finances on a higher power. So, it is April 26th. We're almost done with spring, heading into May. This year is flying by. So we have to stop and ask ourselves, what is different about this year than last year? Now, I know there's a lot of stuff that's in the media and by politicians throughout the decades where they will ask the general public to ask themselves, am I better off this year versus last year? Am I better off this year versus 5 years ago? And this brings up a good point. One of the main elements of becoming a successful trader and remaining a successful trader is having a plan. Now, every trader that I coach, every group of traders in my workshops, they all have trading plans. Meaning, you know, you have your methodology, you have your trading system, you've created and refined your edge. you're good at your analysis, or at least you say you are. And yet 99.9% of every single one of you never even consider creating a business plan for your trading. Now, the only reason, excuse me, I've got a little bit of a sore throat today. The only reason that every single one of us became traders was to make money. That's the only thing that trading provides anyone who's interested in it. You are a trader to make money, whether it's an income-bearing trading account or it's an extra income-bearing trading account, or you want to pursue it full-time so you would have the freedom to travel or pick your hours, don't have a boss, a lot more other reasons. But the challenge is that since most of us entering into trading have worked for someone else at some point in our lives, we are conditioned to think that we are worth X amount of dollars. Now, it may be a high amount, it may be a low amount, it may be something in between. But anybody who has worked outside of trading, unless they own their own business, was told, I can pay you this amount of money because that's what I think you're worth. Now, they may not come right out and say, that's what I think you're worth. They're going to just tell you that's what the salary is for that particular position you may hold with their company. So once you become a trader, you have to figure out for yourself, each one of you, like, I can't do this for you. I can give you help on this, but I can't tell you what you're worth. All the goofballs on the internet that are claiming to take, you know, tens of thousands of dollars out of the market every moment, they're not going to be able to tell you what you're worth. Even if you followed the most successful traders in the world ever, you know, the Warren Buffetts, the Tudor Jones, Paul Tudor Jones, you know, even the moderators on all these news stations such as Cramer and the like, even if you followed every word that they said as gospel and attempted to duplicate that or replicate it in your trading life, it would be impossible. It would be impossible. And how do I know this, you might ask? Well, I know this because a lot of you who contact me for coaching, as well as those of you who attend my workshops, you tell me that. You say, oh my gosh, I have listened to Warren Buffett. I have followed his career. I have, you know, traded all the same stocks and you know, contracts that he did, but I'm not a billionaire. First of all, Warren Buffett is an old guy, all right? He's not your age. He's not 20 or 30 or 40. He's not even 50 or 60, all right? So when he started his career, the world was a lot different place. The markets were a lot different. Now, when I say they were a lot different, what I'm talking about is there were less contracts, there were less trading opportunities. He had to go through a broker to place his trades. You know, he didn't have the option of being a floor trader. They didn't have electronic trading up until the late 1990s, and it really wasn't perfected until the early 2000s. So you can't try to duplicate or replicate anyone else's past success into a new success for yourself. Now, I know I've shared stories here about me learning from floor traders and, you know, back in the 80s and the 90s and having the luxury of being able to try out their trading systems as they were developing them. But that wouldn't necessarily work in today's markets or in today's economic climate. The world is a much more globally connected unit than it was even when I started trading. Even when I had to switch from being a floor trader over to being, you know, off the floor through electronic trading. Even just in the last 5 to 10 years, trading has taken on quite a few new dimensions. So I don't presume to think that something I learned even 10 years ago or 5 years ago, much less 20 or 30 years ago, is going to apply to how I approach trading today. Now, let me backtrack here. That doesn't mean that there are some nuts and bolts to trading that don't apply no matter what decade it is, no matter what century it is, because we are in the second century of trading. Here in the U.S., there have been futures markets, commodities markets, since the 1700s. So just not here in the U.S. Our futures and commodities markets didn't get established until the late 1800s in Chicago, where all the farmers met at the corner of LaSalle Street, and I think it was Monroe and Adams. Monroe, Adams, and LaSalle Street, where they would bring all their grains and all their livestock, you know, to sell. So the point is, obviously, we don't need to do that physicalness, a physical aspect of trading anymore. Everything is done through our electronic devices. Very few of you will ever take delivery of live cattle or live hogs. Even fewer of you will ever take delivery of gold or silver bars. Now, when I was trading, when I was a floor trader, that was still an actuality. And I went to the stockyards and I saw the gold bars being delivered into the Board of Trade. It was fantastic. And we knew who was taking delivery of those precious metals. And it was awesome. I loved it. But it's a different world today. How, again, with that said, there are still basic tenets to trading that will never change. And that means you have to know how to read a chart. You have to know your market inside and out, meaning you have to do your research and watch your market so you know how it works and how it interacts with other markets. You need to have a decent trading system, and you need to be able to work that trading system to the best of your ability. And you need to be objective. You can't have an opinion about market movement or market direction. These are just basic things here, folks. And you need a trading plan, meaning what are your objectives for the day? How do you intend on going about them to create taking profit and keeping it? And of course, next to that, you need a business plan. You can't grow money wherever it comes from. You can't grow your equity. You can't grow your trading account if you don't have a plan as to how you're going to grow it and what you're going to do with your profit and how often you're going to take a percentage of profit out of your trading account to put aside to actually do something with. So these are basic things that do not change throughout time, throughout trading the markets. And anybody else on the internet that tells you that's a bunch of hooey, that you don't need plans, is not a trader. I can guarantee you. All right? Even Warren Buffett still has plans. He's got teams of people who have learned his expertise that tell him, here's what you should do. Whether or not he chooses to do it is beside the point. The point is, he is now at a point in his life where he has staff that know him well enough to say, if you want to keep this going in this manner, this is probably what we should look at. So the best of the best of the best, and you don't have to be a Warren Buffett to be one of those, has a trading plan and has a business plan. And pays themselves at least minimum once a month by taking 25% out of their trading account and putting that aside. So there's going to be multidimensional here today that we're going to talk about. And so keep that in mind, that what I'm talking about are the nuts and bolts of how to think like a winning warrior trader as we head into break. We'll be back. So, as I said, there are nuts and bolts to becoming a consistently successful trader. Another very important element is there comes a point in every trader's career when he has to determine what is interrupting or limiting his ability to make money as a trader. Now, we touched on this a couple weeks ago, where I shared with you one of my clients has built up a family business. He started it, he turned it into a success, and now a lot of his family members are employed by him in this business. And since it's been successful for a couple years, he decided he was going to take a couple hours off every day to start trading part-time. This has been a dream of his. Well, you know, he would leave the business and go to his, wherever he trades. I don't know if he trades from home or he has another office. You know, there would always end up being some crises at the business that he had to drop everything in the middle of trading and go take care of. And it was really beginning to annoy him because the family members could have solved the issues, but instead they were contacting him. So after, you know, talking a little bit about this, I just reminded him that First of all, his family members are not traders. Now, they may say they support him in this second business, but there would be no way anyone who is not a trader would feel comfortable with the very person that is employing them. They would not feel comfortable with him trading, because as we all know, a lot of families, a lot of people, shall I say, do not have a positive definition, shall we say, of trading or traders. Most people consider it gambling. A lot of people think gambling is against their religion. And so it would be extremely difficult for someone who has a family business, who is employing numerous family members, to suddenly say, okay, you run this, as I know you can, and as you have been doing for several years, I'm going to step away and I'm going to go trade. Now, you've got all these family members in a flutter because they can't figure out what trading is. They don't want to know. They're scared of it. And now they're afraid that they're going to lose their lifestyle because this other family member, in their mind, possibly, is being irresponsible and taking too many risks. Now, we all know trading is a risky business, okay? But one has nothing to do with the other. The family business has been running for years with those family members taking care of emergencies quite effectively until he started trading. And then all of a sudden, they didn't know how to do hardly anything anymore. So this created quite a conflict. And so he would go fix the emergency and then run back to wherever his trading office is and try to play catch up in the markets and just put on trades just to put them on. And of course, by the time he called me, he was down $90,000. So, you know, this creates quite a dynamic here, folks. And you have to understand that if you have a business, a family business, and you have family members employed there, you don't need to tell them that you're going to be a trader in another area and have them freak out. First of all, what your plans are for the money that you're creating, that you made, that you want to grow as a trader, is nobody else's business. I mean, maybe your wife or your husband, you know, if you have a spouse, but certainly not anyone else in the family, whether they work for you at the family business or not. You have to understand that if you are not focused on creating money as a trader because you are allowing anyone to intrude in on your thoughts saying, why are you doing this? Why are you putting our money at risk? Why? Then you're no longer a trader. You are toast. Now, back that out a little bit. Before anyone starts trading, and if they have a wife and young children, they absolutely need to talk to their spouse, a wife or husband. They absolutely need to talk to your spouse before you quit your day job or before you start dipping into the checking account. So, you know, there are normal, appropriate discussions that need to happen so that you can both start out on the same wavelength and support each other in positive measures. Okay? I'm going to give you a good example of this. You know, I have a good friend who just got out of a messy divorce. She really doesn't have a lot of money. And she asked me, you know, what should I invest in? Well, as I've stated before, I do not tell people what to invest in. First of all, I'm not licensed to do that. And second of all, I would have no idea what their plans are for their money. So there would be no way I would tell them what to invest in. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know what's happening, going to happen tomorrow. Anyway, she invested in some foreign currency with a country that is, unsettled right now. All right, a lot of civil war stuff going on, civil unrest. So she called me up and she said, oh, I just invested $10,000 in this foreign currency. Now, $10,000 was everything she had saved up. And knowing that she was going to lose it all, you know, I had to kind of bite my tongue. And she said, you know, you need to get in on this. You need to get in on this. And she just really was, you know, hammering me to join her on this wild ride. And so I basically just said, yeah, I'll look into it. So obviously months have gone by and things have gotten worse in this foreign country. And of course, you know, she's lost 90% of her investment. So she called me up and she said, how much did you lose? And I had to remind her, I said, first of all, I don't talk about my trading wins or losses with anyone. And second of all, you need to concentrate on what you're doing. You need to concentrate on whether you're going to stay in that trade and lose your entire account, your entire investment, or if you're going to cut your losses. And she said, well, I think it's going to turn around. Well, you know, objectively, you know, this foreign country is not going to straighten out overnight. It could be take months. It could take years. I mean, we don't know. It's another country. So I just said that to her. And she got very angry. And she said, why can't you support me as a friend? I said, because I'm doing my job right now. I'm trying to have you step away from the emotional side of it and be realistic. You know, all you have to do is go anywhere in the news and you're going to see there's a lot of problems with this country. So they're not going to get fixed tomorrow. Anyway, she got very upset with me and, you know, told me where to go. So my point is, it's really sad because I did not tell her to invest her money in anything. I didn't tell her not to invest her money in anything. She jumped in with both feet blindly and just had her mindset before she'd even talked to me about anything. Not that I would have talked her out of it anyway, because that's not my job. That's not my business. I do not do that. Unfortunately, you know, she lost her entire account because I know where she bought, which because she told me, and I know where that foreign currency is now. And, you know, she's going to be in financial trouble. So my point being is that was a person that shouldn't be trading. That was a person that didn't know how to trade. And so she blew up her account. But that can't interfere with my trading. And just like in your trading, no one can interfere with how you view the markets, because it's your choice to trade how you want to trade. We'll be back after a break.
Paula T. Webb will be back with us in a moment. It's Your Finances on A Higher Power.
Okay, so that was an example of just a friend. Okay, so imagine that, you know, 100-fold if it's your family. And I know this is tough, folks, because as I've mentioned previously, you know, I had siblings that were, you know, hammering me about not being a trader for years. And, you know, I finally had to be real firm with them and say, hey, I never told you what career you shouldn't be doing. So, you know, back off. Now, if it's your spouse, obviously, it's a little different and you have to tread lightly, but you have to be honest with your spouse and say, this is what I really want to do. Have a budget, have a plan, a business plan, have a timeline of how long you're going to give it, how much money you can throw at it as disposable income without upsetting your lifestyle, whether it's just the two of you or if you have children or you're taking care of other family members. This is just common sense, folks. Okay? And this is the type of contract that Mark Douglas and I have been helping families put together with each other for probably close to 25 years. So this is nothing new. Nothing new to us and my work, but it's definitely new to a lot of you in the industry. So just keep in mind, distractions are the main reason that traders fail. And I know a lot of you are probably saying, no, it's not, you know, they don't know how to trade. I'm going to tell you right now, most traders I work with know how to trade. That isn't the issue. Most traders are really good analysts. That's not the issue. Most traders have a pretty decent trading system. That's not the issue. The issue is distractions. I have a good friend. His name is Joe Carocchio. He's passed away several years ago, but he was really the master at explaining the universal laws of distraction and interruption. And I was very fortunate to work with him for, 9 or 10 years while he wrote his book. And he also had a monthly newspaper that he put out in the Southwest area, New Mexico, Arizona, and California. And I was one of the regular contributors to that periodical. And he really understood interruption and distraction to the nth degree. I mean, he really had it going on. And we're going to be reissuing his book in the next couple months. It's going to be incorporated into one of my books, with his permission of his estate, because it really needs to be applied for traders. And so, we all know the main distraction is social media. And social media is probably one of the biggest evils on the planet. And before you guys, turn the show off, just think how much negative stuff you see or hear on social media every single day that you tune into that compared to positive stuff. It's a lot. Now, I'm not on Twitter anymore just because of that reason. I was rocking and rolling for probably 5 long years on Twitter, and then all of a sudden, all this negative stuff started appearing in my thread. And the more I blocked it, the more it came. And so I just closed the account. I'm not on Facebook except just socially, because there are, I work with the Riverside County Sheriff's Department. And so I need to be following them just to see all of the events in the entire county, not just in my area. But other than that, I don't subscribe to anybody because I don't want any negativity in my mental environment. As we spoke about a couple weeks ago, everyone makes a choice as to what they allow to be inside their mind. We can hang on to images or memories of, being disciplined, maybe severely by our parents, or abused by another person, or just someone who was mean to you, bullied, whatever. We choose to keep that in our minds. We choose to remain a victim. And when we choose to remain a victim of anything in our past, that flows right into our inability to take profits as traders. What it will do is that will skew our perspective just enough so that we'll be in a drawdown and then another drawdown, or we'll be a boom and bust cycle, boom and bust cycle again. And why does that keep happening? Because you already think you're a victim, because you haven't deflated and cleaned out anything that happened to you in the past, outside of trading even. And you got to think about this, folks. And I know what I'm talking about. I've shared with you. I was, you know, groomed and abused when I was a teenager. And that was awful. It happened for over a year. And it's taken me a long time to get past that, to even say it publicly. You know, I was passed over for raises when I managed the floor operations at the Mid-America Commodity Exchange, by a boss who lied to me repeatedly, saying, oh, well, you don't have a master's degree. Okay, and it turned out that he didn't have a master's degree. Nobody at the exchange at that point, except for the president, had a master's degree. So he just continually lied to keep me in my place. That's abuse, okay? That's a type of bullying. And when I found that out, I felt so betrayed because I kept working harder and harder to prove to him that I was worthy of a better percentage of a raise. So it's all of these things, and I'm just sharing these two examples, but things like that, that we think we've pushed down and that we control and we don't think about anymore, those resurface when we're trading. They just appear out of nowhere. And then all of a sudden, we get in a trade that is not authentic. And then we just add to our position. We think, oh, I got to make it. I got to make it. Or I got to get that money back. I got to get that money back. And that all stems from those old experiences that still have energy attached to them, that still say to you deep down inside, I am a victim. This is not, you know, crazy talk here. This is reality. Memories, thoughts, experiences, they all retain energy. And what I want you, all of you listening to do is take out a piece of paper, write down off the top of your head, write down 10 things in your life that you remember that made you very happy or brought you joy. Right off the top of your head, no thinking, no second guessing, 10 things. I can think of 10 things right now. My first pair of skis at Christmas when I was 7 years old. My first kitten that I got at 8 years old. First time I rode a bike without the training wheels on it. First time I got on a skateboard without breaking my neck. I actually rode past 3 driveways on the street where I lived without falling off. That was a huge accomplishment. Getting straight A's, being on the honor roll, the high honor roll, the dean's list in college, getting my undergrad, getting my master's degree, becoming ordained as a minister, getting married to Mark Douglas, rescuing our first two kittens from a kitten mill, and so forth. You know, providing a great home, being a great cook, entertaining, providing all the material to all of you out there listening. That is my joy. That is my joy when you email me back or you call me and say thank you. So we need to stay focused on the joy in our life, not the negative crud on the internet, not the negativity that is someone else's opinion about life. This is what trading is all about. You have to learn how to think for yourself. If you think that you are going to be a winning trader, then act like it. But more importantly, think like it. there isn't any doubt in my mind that I'm a good trader for me. And you have to be a good trader for you, whatever that means. I can't describe that to you, but I know what my definition is. You have to determine what is your definition of being a good trader. Right off the top of my head, it's not being distracted. There is never anything that's going to distract me while I am trading. Nothing. And yes, I learned that the hard way, which I shared previously. I listened to somebody else or, you know, checked on a news feed and I lost money. Only took me a couple times of losing money. That's it. And that was in the course of a year and a half. That's it. Not year in and year out. So ask yourself, why am I allowing myself to be distracted from making and keeping uncommon wealth as a trader? Only you know why. I mean, if you call me for coaching, I can pretty much guess right away based on what you share, and I'll help you figure that out because that's what I do. But you have to understand that you are distracted, and you know you're distracted. You don't need to talk to me to know that. I'm telling you here in the show. So make up your mind. Do you want to be an authentic trader? Or do you want to be one of these goofballs on the internet that pretends that they're making any money as a trader? The choice is up to you. We're heading into break, so I'm going to give you a few moments to think about this, and we'll talk more when we get back. Okay, so look, folks, I'm not immune to being distracted, all right? There are days when I am just not in the frame of mind to trade. And on those days, I may just work on one of my books, my new book's coming out, or I may take the day off and just be distracted by taking my camera out and playing around with my hobby of photography. But that's knowing yourself. If I get up in the morning and I know that I can be distracted that day, and I will know that about myself pretty much by the time I'm finished with my first cup of tea, I will know because I know myself. I know what I'm thinking. I know what I'm feeling. I know what I'm capable of. I know what I need to do every single day. But, you know, I'm human. There's some days I get up and it's like, no, just not there. And that's okay because I know that. And that way I can choose to not trade, do something else. Maybe business related, maybe not. And just not lose any money trading. I mean, earlier this week, I really was not feeling too well. And I just did not go to work for 2 days. And I did nothing but lay in bed. I did veg out on Turner Classic Movies and the Hallmark Channel, you know, anything positive. And then I put in some funny movies like Wedding Crashers and what else? Things like that, you know, funny movies. So that's part of the healing process for me. Drank a lot of good tea. You know, a lot of good juice, had some toast, you know, to settle my stomach. I did some self-care. There was no way I could trade this week. And I certainly didn't feel like I was missing out on anything because I just felt so lousy. Now, you don't have to be physically ill either to feel lousy and not trade. There are just some days where I'm just not in tune with the markets. So I don't trade. You know, and also, you know, I do run the consulting business, and there's lots of times that people will attempt to distract me and call me up with proposals, you know, on how they're going to do this and that together, webinars, workshops, you know, seminars, whatever. And that itself can be distracting because they all have these great ambitious ideas, which of course are usually not exactly stellar when you go to look at them. But the point is, as traders, you have to make the decision. What is most important to me? Making money or not? Do you want to make money as a trader consistently? Do you want to grow your trading account consistently? Only you can answer that. And if that's what you want to do, then you should probably have a consulting session with me. That's what I'm here for. You can reach me at www.paulatweb.com. My office number is 760-636-4290. I am in the office 7 days a week. You can check my calendar by going to my website. Some days have different hours than others, but the calendar will always show you what hours of the day I am available. And as I've said before, a lot of times, one consulting session might be all you need. Maybe you just want some validation that you're on the right track. That's a lot of what I do, folks. Of course, if you're not on the right track, I will tell you. I will tell you. I am a taskmaster, and I'm not going to sit here and hold your hand and tell you how great you are. I will tell you where you need to improve. So if that's what you're looking for, then this is the source. This is where it all began to begin with. And we continue on with bringing you bigger and better information and brand new materials that are only for those of you that are serious investors, serious traders that really want to be the best of the best of the best. So all I want to say here, guys, is that, you know, don't be afraid to reach out. I'm not a hard person to get along with. Most of the time, there's a lot of laughter in the consultations. And we usually have a lot of fun. For those of you who are willing to listen to what I have to say, and take to heart my expertise that truly has helped tens of thousands of traders across the planet. Now, you know, if you do need a good trading methodology, please contact Larry Pesavento. He's on Tiger TV, TFNN.com, daily market commentary. He can help you out with that. We're good friends. I consider him one of the peers in the industry. And so if you need help in that regard, feel free to contact him. And if you want to get your mind right, to quote from the movie Cool Hand Luke, then give me a call, give me a shout out, send me an email, and we will get rocking and rolling. Bear in mind, I do not do this via WhatsApp. I do not do this via email. It is strictly Zoom, or on the phone. So, wishing you an awesome trading week with a lot of profit taking and equity growth. And we will see you back here, same time, same place, same channel, next week. God bless, and just know your Heavenly Father wants you to be just as wealthy as you want to be, too.
Paula T. Webb, co-author of The Disciplined Trader, The Complete Trader, and several other all-time best-selling, award-winning books, including Trading in the Zone, books that set the bar on trading psychology. You can find her classic books on Amazon and on her website, www.paulatweb.com.